Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Dave, Charlene rasped into the phone between contractions, I think you'd better get home, on the double. She zipped up her childbirth duffel bag and went to wake up 3-year-old Jason from his nap. We're going to Grandma's now. It's time for Mommy and Daddy to go have the baby. Jason rubbed his eyes and sat up. I want to go on your trip. Please, can I come and see the baby be born? Charlene sat down heavily in the rocker to catch her breath as another contraction arrived. No, Grandma's expecting you, sweetie. But I want to see the baby come. I want to see him come out. From a parent's perspective, how can we best prepare ourselves and our families for childbirth? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Nancy Zelnick is a certified nurse midwife at the Maternity Center, a 25-year-old birthing center in Bethesda, Maryland. She cares for women's health issues as a career and is the proud mother of 2 daughters, ages 9 and 6. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Nancy.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
What's the biggest concern women have going into childbirth?
Well, I would say that across the board, that's got to be a healthy baby. That's the biggest concern. Everyone wants to have a healthy newborn baby. That's the goal, right? And sure. Luckily, most births are uncomplicated, and with quality prenatal care and time spent with their provider, discussing exercise and nutrition and the do's and don'ts of pregnancy, everyone should be able to expect a healthy outcome.
How should women best prepare themselves?
Well, I think that information is their weapon. I think that as long as you can arm yourself with information and do a lot of reading and don't let the fear of the process prevent you from having a positive experience. I think that you need to shop around for a provider you feel comfortable with, as well as a setting. Not all women must deliver in a hospital unless they have a medical indication for that. And we know that there are several different settings, a freestanding birth center for one, which is where I work. We also do hospital delivery, so that's an option. Everyone knows about that. And some women do choose to have their babies at home. And as long as they have a low-risk pregnancy and no complications, that can work out well for some women.
When they're trying to choose a provider, what kinds of questions do you think are appropriate for them to ask so they know where they're most comfortable?
Well, I think what their provider's perspective is in terms of birth. Do they look at it like, gosh, anything could go wrong at any minute, therefore we need to hook you up to this machine and that? Or is their perspective a more natural one? We're just going to sit back and see how your labor does, and if you need a little help along the way, well, we'll be right there to help. Also, can you talk to your provider? Do you have time to have all your questions answered so that you can be reassured that everything is going normally if it is? I also think that it's important to know what your provider's C-section rate is. Is it high? Is it higher than the national average? Or is it low?
What does that mean? For instance,
well, most providers do keep statistics on how many cesarean sections they perform and how many natural, normal vaginal deliveries they perform.
Why is it important for the potential mommy to know the rate of cesarean sections?
Well, it's important because she does not want to put herself in a position that she would have an unnecessary C-section. And we know that 30% is about the national average for C-section, which is quite high. It's not that high in other countries. Our practice, for instance, has about an 8% C-section rate. So you want to ask, why is that? And do you allow women to walk around in early labor? Do you allow them to have some nourishment? You know, that's really important to do that in early labor. Not everyone needs to be put to bed just because they're having a baby. In fact, we know that because we look at other cultures and they go in the fields and squat and have their baby and go right back to work, which is amazing. Of course, we can't see ourselves doing that, but
it's interesting. And Linda and I have had kids across a spectrum that gives us a chance to see how things have been different. And I was thinking that the difference between our older kids And then the last one who came along is a huge difference in terms of childbirth practices. The older ones, we were put to bed, which,
right,
of course, makes, right, labor go a little bit more slowly,
that's
sometimes
exactly
a whole,
right,
lot more uncomfortably.
Right.
And I remember with one of my deliveries being, by the time my husband was able to get to the hospital, he came in from a long distance away, I was hooked up for sound and lights. I had wires everywhere. I was really,
yes,
and he was fine. He was rested. He had on a nice three-piece suit. He'd had a nice meal in the train. And I looked like...
You wanted to switch places
yes,
with him, didn't you?
I did. But by the time the fourth one came along, which was 15 years ago, it was so different, I couldn't believe it, because I was able to stand up, walk around, take a shower, and I looked at the shower and I thought, suppose I'm delivering this baby and I'm in the shower. It never occurred to me that this was all a very,
yes,
natural precursor,
yes,
to having the actual birth. So we're, in a way, progressing backwards. We're going back to what's more natural.
I think that's true. I think that today's couple wants a simpler, more natural approach, and that's attractive, not to have to be hooked up and be able to move around. And I think that because couples have been asking for that, that hospitals now have become more accustomed to letting them do so. I had a patient who was 38 weeks pregnant, and her physician wanted to induce her labor because he thought the baby was too big. So she decided to look around for another provider because she really did not want to be induced. She wanted this labor to come naturally. And so she came to us begging and pleading, and she was so far along in her pregnancy, we didn't really think that she could do all the things she needed to do to get into the practice quickly, but she did. And she was a tall lady, and her husband was very tall too, and the baby was about 10 pounds. But she did have an 8-hour labor, a 10-pound, 13-ounce baby in the birth center with a nurse midwife. And she was just so happy that she didn't have to have an unnecessary C-section because she really felt that her provider was walking down that road. So it's important that if you're not happy and comfortable with your provider, it's okay to switch providers. You really want to be with somebody at the time of birth who really believes in you and believes in the process.
It's a good idea
That's
to speak
really
up.
Important.
That's a good story.
What kinds of preparation are necessary for the husbands and partners of these pregnant women?
Well, there are many different types of childbirth education classes in the community. I'm sure that every community has its Lamaze. Bradley has also been around for a long time and has been dubbed husband coach childbirth. So there is a lot of concrete things within each method for the partner to help the birthing woman through this process. There's also a new childbirth education course called hypnobirthing, which stresses deep relaxation and putting yourself into a meditative state. They use tapes, and I have seen this work very, very well for couples who practice. You can take the course, but if you don't go home and practice in the evening, you won't know by the time labor comes how to get yourself into that state. So it's very important to practice whatever method it is that you choose. There's also International Childbirth Education Association, which has also been around for a long time. And they do have some 800 numbers and some local numbers. Bradley's 800 number is 42-BIRTH. And Lamaze has a 703-549-2226.
Would you repeat that?
Sure, 703-549-2226. And CEA, which is International Childbirth Education Association, is at 703-941-7183.
And I'm going to do that again.
CEA, 703-941-7183. And those 703 numbers that I gave you for Lamaze and CEA, they will ask you for your zip code and give you the childbirth educators that are in your local immediate area.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on childbirth.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with nurse midwife Nancy Zelnick about childbirth. I know this is a sort of a hazardous question to ask, but can you take us through the process of a normal delivery for people who haven't been through this? At least it will give some guideposts of what to look for.
Sure, sure. Well, I think we'll start with having it be someone's first baby, because that's the most typical scenario where people feel very unsure of the process and what's about to happen. And this is where education plays a big role, because if you have done your homework, then the process will be a lot less scary. Well, we hope that you will arrive at your choice of setting when you are in early active labor, and that means when you're about 4 to 5 centimeters. So that's about halfway. The baby starts moving through the birth canal when you hit about 10 centimeters. So,
how would a woman know that, though?
Yes, well, she wouldn't know that, but the contractions are generally much closer together and stronger by the time labor is really starting to get going. And that can vary, of course, woman to woman. It can vary greatly.
Can you describe a contraction? I remember
sure.
At the beginning, my first pregnancy, I was thinking every pain
is
I had, I was thinking, is this a contraction? No, maybe this is a contraction.
Well, when you are in early active labor, as I described, 5 minute apart contractions that are lasting about 50 to 60 seconds and getting quite strong. Now, some women describe them as menstrual cramps, but of course we know they are really the mother of all menstrual cramps. This is a menstrual cramp that you probably have never felt before, okay? And it generally grabs you. Your belly is very, very tight. Some people describe pain in their lower abdomen right above their pubic bone. Other people can describe pain in their lower back. Generally, it's a rhythmic type of thing. So you're going to have a contraction for a minute. Really feel that you have to slowly breathe and catch your breath. And once you get through that, you'll have a relaxation period. And then again, it will start. So generally about 5 minutes apart, lasting a minute, is the time when you really want to call your provider, make sure that they're ready to meet you, make sure that all your bags are in the car and you're ready to go. And if there's any other children to have dispersed in another household, you can go ahead and get that accomplished before it's time to go.
Right. So then what happens?
Well, then usually this goes on now with a first labor. It can be about 18 to 20 hours. That's about the average of a first labor.
So get a good magazine.
Get a good night's rest is important. So if you're not having those contractions that are 5 minutes apart and maybe they're 10 or 15, you really want to doze and try to really save your energy for the big kahuna. So it would be great if you could then, you know, relax enough to let your body do its work. Generally, the more relaxed the woman is, the faster the labor progresses, because her body is not really fighting it. When you're scared or you're unsure, you can be very, very tense, and that can really halt the process of labor. So the more relaxed she is, she will move through labor nicely. She will eventually get an urge to bear down, and that's what we call the pushing stage. So after about 1 to 2 hours of pushing, you'll see your baby. And that's an average, of course, for the first labor. Now, I have a story about a 40-year-old woman who came to our practice, and she was very, very fearful of birth because of what her friends and family had told her. They tended to tell her all the horror stories instead of the good stories. So she was very, very scared. And because she was 40, she'd been told for the last 5 years that if she was going to have a baby, she was going to be high risk. So that, of course, just added to her fear. But she was in good shape, and she really just wanted some reassurance. And having her provider present during the process was something that she felt strongly about. So she chose a midwifery birth. And we gave her a massage in early labor, let her walk around. In general, just talked to her, told her everything that was happening and going on. And you could see her relaxing through this process. She also got into the jacuzzi. We use jacuzzis a lot. We fill up that tub with nice warm water and dunk them in there. And they, oh, George, we've got to get one of these. So they relax really nicely in there, and pretty soon you can, you know, hear her starting to make those sounds that you recognize as the pushing stage. And she pushed her baby out in 20 minutes, which is really amazing for a first-time mom. So
not
she was
in the jacuzzi,
just
right?
Thrilled, not in the jacuzzi. Okay. We got her out of the
checking.
Tub first. But she was in a nice, comfortable position that she felt confident. She pushed her baby out, and that is empowerment. That is empowerment. That feeling, didn't you feel that way when you had your babies? You
yes.
felt like, wow, I did it. So,
well, first, I was telling
feeling.
My doctor, I'm not going to do this. It hurts.
Right. I don't think I'm going to push anymore.
Yes. And we should address that pain issue. Does it hurt to have a baby? Absolutely. Of course it hurts. But normal progressive labor is not agony. And for most women who are healthy and have a low-risk pregnancy, if they really take good care of themselves and keep active during the pregnancy, they can have, you know, a very nice labor, 8, 10, 12-hour labor, and really feel that the jacuzzi was all they needed. Now, we do offer pain medication if that is a choice, and we can certainly give you something to help you relax if it gets too much. And we also do hospital births on women who think that they do want an epidural, and they've heard a lot about this epidural from their friends.
Would you clarify what an epidural is?
Sure. An epidural is a regional anesthetic that is given through the spine, through the back, and it goes into the epidural space, and it releases medicine and timely during the labor process to keep the woman comfortable so that really below the belly, she does not have much sensation. She can feel pressure, but generally not pain. Really, any way you choose to do it, you can do it with the type of provider that you feel comfortable with.
I was very surprised when I had my first kid. I had to be induced. He was reading War and Peace, and he wasn't coming for weeks and weeks. He wasn't born
taking
in the right
his
year.
Time.
It was, but the second one, it was very interesting because I wasn't induced, and I went through all that stuff and the dilation and all this. And finally, when it got to be 10 centimeters, all the contractions stopped because I was dilated, and all the pain stopped.
Yeah.
And then this child was born. I thought this must be the way they did it in the fields. It was amazing. There was no more pain.
It is nature's way of slowing down that labor once that cervix has completely dilated and it's time to push. So it really is a nice way to give mom a break after she's been through this really rough period of contractions so close together. And about 80 to 90% of all women say that when they push, they just feel hugely relieved. It's just such a nice feeling to be able to actually work and do something to get your baby out instead of just kind of lying there and having contractions.
Nancy, what have you found was the biggest surprise for birthing mothers?
Well, I think that would be when the baby comes out and they say, it's a baby. Yes,
felt
there
like
has
a bowling
been a baby.
Ball for
yes.
So long.
Well, it's, you know, interesting to feel this life moving inside of you and to try to imagine exactly what this baby looks like and whose ears does it have and whose mouth does it have and to actually see the product of the fruit of your labor, so to speak, is really, truly amazing. And I think that they're surprised at how well they have achieved this, that it's been a long wait and here is the baby. And most women don't feel like, what do I do now? They immediately take that baby up to them and cuddle the baby, and it's just an instinctual, it's a very lovely moment. I cry quite often.
Yeah, sure.
Very touching.
What are your thoughts on children's being present for the birth of a sibling? We touched on that a little bit in our opening story,
yes,
and now
yes.
Here we are.
Well, that's a common story. At our birth center, we certainly are very, very open to siblings at birth, and I think hospitals are becoming more and more open to that as well. There are classes in the community for siblings, so you can look at in your local area for a sibling preparation course, and I think that the hospital generally would like that sibling who's going to attend the delivery to have had a course and had some kind of preparation so that they know that this child isn't going to go running and screaming from the room. I have seen a 3-year-old at the bottom of the bed looking on in just awe and, good mommy, you're doing a good job. And I have seen other children really not like to see their mom in pain and really choose to be out of the room. So I think it's a very individual thing. You know, we all have children that are different, right? Not every child is the same. So some kids are going to do very, very well, and others really, I think you need to take their lead. And I guess you discussed that in your book, right?
Absolutely. But it's very interesting because the different developmental stages children are in sometimes are also a cue to how well they'll do.
That's right. That's right. So I would say in general, probably a 5, 6, 7-year-old is going to do much better than a 2 or 3-year-old.
Each situation is totally individual.
Absolutely.
And parents better pay
attention.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No across-the-board answers here.
Because I really didn't think that that three-year-old was going to do as well. And that three-year-old just was amazing. So
good preparation,
that's
probably.
Right. That's right.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on childbirth.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with nurse midwife Nancy Zelnick about childbirth. Would you tell us a little bit more about the maternity center and also a little bit more about midwives?
Midwives are trained in two disciplines. I am a certified nurse midwife, so I did go to nursing school and get my RN, and then I went back to graduate school and got a master's in nursing and midwifery. And then once you do finish school, you're able to sit for boards, and once you pass them, you can use Certified Nurse Midwife or CNM after your name. So midwives have become more and more popular. They have never gone away, though. I think it skipped a generation. Your grandmothers probably had babies with midwives, and then our mothers didn't. So now it's coming back, and it's something that is a more natural perspective, a very common sense approach to childbirth. This is something that's been going on for a long time now, and something that's always going to continue, hopefully, as the world turns. And we at the Maternity Center really believe in individual care. In other words, we want to take the time to answer questions and make the woman feel comfortable so that she will deliver well. So the Maternity Center has been in existence for 25 years, as you said, and it's the oldest private midwifery service in the country. We have delivered over 6,000 babies out of the hospital since 1975.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. It's really a wonderful thing. The births are very, very calm and quiet and very, very nice. There's not a lot of people rushing into the room at the last minute. And now, if need be, we are trained in emergency procedures and things like that. We do also have hospital privileges at a local hospital. So it really depends on the individual situation. If the mother's nice and low risk and there's no problems with the pregnancy, she may choose to deliver in the birth center. If something crops up, like her blood pressure starts rising or she is found to have gestational diabetes and requires insulin or something like that, then we'll need to go to the hospital for that birth.
When you go to the hospital, are there doctors involved?
Yes, most of the time. It really depends on the situation. Some people choose to go to the hospital because they just want to possibly have the option of an epidural, because we don't do those epidurals at the birth center. So we would not need a physician there for that. But if we do have a complicated situation, absolutely, our physicians are standing right by, ready to jump in at any point in time. And we do work very closely with a group of obstetricians in the area. So if we did have a problem, we could have them in a moment's notice.
Is this common for midwifery centers across the country that they have connections with obstetricians and so on?
It is. Every certified nurse midwife has a physician's agreement with a group of physicians or one physician, so that if she does have a case that becomes complicated that maybe requires a cesarean section, for instance, then she can call her physician and say, this baby isn't coming out. We need to get it out another way. So, yes, they're standing right by to help us in any situation we need.
I want to clarify with you, Nancy. So you're saying if someone needs an epidural or an emergency procedure or anything, then they need to go to a hospital. That means when someone is planning to have a child in the maternity center or a birthing center like that, they're planning not to use outside means of any sort. They're not going to use medication. They're going to use other methods for...
Well, they're generally not planning an epidural. And they can have medication in the birth center. We do have drugs for all different sorts of situations. We do not do any kind of anesthesia that would require closer monitoring. So anything that we would do, any kind of intervention that we would do at the birth center that would require closer monitoring, we would go ahead and transfer that patient to the hospital.
Nancy, I know you've given some phone numbers that would be very helpful for expectant parents to call about birthing centers and so on. Are there any books or any other resources that you would like to recommend at this point?
Sure. I've got several books that I think are really good. One is The Midwife's Pregnancy and Childbirth Book by Marion McCartney and Antonia Vandermeer. And Having Your Baby with a Nurse Midwife, which, of course, was written by the American College of Nurse Midwives, as well as Sandra Jacobs. Another book that I think is really interesting is called Birthing from Within, and that's Pam England and Rob Hovowitz. Okay. Also, this is a really great, funny book that I think every man who's about to have a baby or who has a partner really needs to read, and it's called Your Guy's Guide to Gynecology, and it's written by a physician, Bruce Becker, B-E-K-K-A-R, and it is just a very nice book about how men can support women even through the normal gynecological exam, which, of course, is, and no one really knows what goes on in that room during that pap smear, do they? So it's nice to have them have something written that they can understand and so that they can be more supportive to their spouse or their partner. If you need to get in touch with the Maternity Center for any reason, we'll be happy to answer any of your questions. We are located in the Washington, D.C. area, 301-530-3300. 301-530-3300.
So if you're in this particular area, in the Washington area, this would be a logical place to call. But if you're across the country, some of the phone numbers that you've given will be very helpful. And we haven't dealt with the web at all. How about any of that?
There's pregnancyweekly.com, pregnancyandyou.com, thefamilystop.com, maternitycenter.com, and birthcenters.org.
Okay, so everybody out there is going to have a lot of choices of resources to use.
And I hope they use all those options and resources. It's not just being put to bed and not able to move around anymore. So your mothers will tell you probably, call the doctor right away, go to the hospital right away. If you're well prepared, we'll know exactly how to deal with your labor when it starts.
This has been a time when we've all been well prepared. We really appreciate your coming, Nancy Zelnick, and helping us to find out a whole lot more about childbirth.
Thank you, Sandy. So much. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573. And also tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.